Hi there. I'm Paul Boger, host of KNPR State of Nevada. Enjoy this conversation from the show. If you like it, please follow us, and thanks.
Ballots are in the mail, and early voting begins this Saturday, May 23rd. For all intents and purposes, the 2026 primary election is underway. With hundreds of names appearing on ballots across the state, we're helping you out by taking some time and breaking down key races and issues. Joining me to do that is April Corbin-Gurnis, deputy editor of the Nevada Courant, and Ben Marjot, reporter for KRNV-TV in Reno and host of the Ballot Battleground Nevada podcast. Ben, April, thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
April, I want to start with you on the top of the ballot this year. That means congressional races. All three Southern Nevada Democratic representatives are running for re-election: Dina Titus, Susie Lee, Stephen Horsford. We've spoken to these folks several times over the years, so let's talk about their challengers. Are any of them facing a tough primary challenge?
Yeah, so Stephen Horsford doesn't have a Democratic primary challenger this year, so he got off lucky on that front. Dina Titus does have three challengers. They would be very long-shot challengers, for sure. Probably more of a challenge would be for Susie Lee, who's being challenged by a sort of self-funded cardiologist here in town, Dr. James Lally. He's really attacked her on her sort of adherence to being bipartisan. He sort of makes the argument that this is not the time for reaching across the aisle. He sees her sort of enabling the Trump administration and not being hard enough on that, and not speaking out enough about genocide in Gaza, sort of that his position there. Again, probably a long shot in terms of him actually unseating her. Nobody's predicting that, but it will be a good sense of how Democrats feel about Susie Lee in general and the strength and energy behind her.
What do we know about the Republicans looking to challenge him in the general election?
Yeah, so obviously when it comes to the Republican Party, the Trump endorsement is the big news for any candidate. And President Trump has endorsed Carrie Buck in CD1 to run against Titus eventually. And then he's backed Marty O'Donnell, who's a sort of video game composer. And those are the two races he's weighed in on. And so those are considered the front runners for those two in their respective primaries.
Ben, let's talk about CD2. It seems like things couldn't be more different in this election cycle. Earlier this year, longtime incumbent Mark Amadei announced he's retiring at the end of this Congress. Since then, more than two dozen candidates have filed to run for his seat. Have any front runners appeared?
Yeah, I think in the Republican side, there have been a couple of front runners carving out different lanes in this primary. There's Lieutenant Colonel David Flippo, who was running actually in Southern Nevada's Congressional District 4 for some time. And when learning that the Amadei seat up here in the north was opening up, flipped to run in the 2nd Congressional District. And he is, for the most part, self-funded, running in kind of the Trump lane, so to speak. He says he has not been endorsed by President Trump, who has not waded into this race yet, but he's certainly trying to carve out that lane as the Trump Republican of the race. And then you have a name familiar to you, Paul, and April, and James Settlemyer, the former Senate Minority Leader, a rancher from Douglas County, who served several sessions in the Nevada legislature in Carson City, was then more recently the director of Nevada's Department of Conservation and Natural Resources. I'd say those two, at least on the GOP side, have risen to the top. Some other names people might recognize: Fred Simon, who challenged Mark Amadei 2 years ago in the GOP primary, and then Jesse Watts, the former Eureka County Sheriff. But I'd say really it's probably at the top of the ballot we're going to likely see Flippo and Settlemyer in some order. How that exactly plays out, that's why we have to wait and see.
What about on the Democratic side of the aisle?
Yeah, so Democrats are kind of sensing an opportunity, albeit I would say a small one, to flip this seat because it is so heavily Republican. It is drawn that way intentionally. And in my view, you know, there's been three candidates that have sort of risen to the top here in their kind of respective lanes. We have Greg Kidd, entrepreneur who ran as a nonpartisan in 2024. He has he's a very wealthy man, a ton of his own money to spend in this race, and he's been able to raise his name ID through running a couple years ago. Teresa Benitez Thompson, longtime assembly majority leader, I'd say maybe more of the establishment choice, very well connected up here in the north, and a lot of endorsements along that front. And then there's been this group of the so-called People's Democrats, five or so more progressive anti-establishment candidates candidates. A couple of them have dropped out. They kind of formed a pact. And so they have actually kind of circled the wagons around the one choice in that group who they perceived as having the strongest chance in kind of the progressive lane. And that's Morgan Wadsworth, a UNR student, comes from a family of ranchers. And she's been able to use social media to kind of raise her profile in that race. Probably still a long shot underdog. But those, are the three that have kind of risen to the top on that side.
Let's switch to the governor's race. There's about 20 candidates in all seeking the office. Six Republicans are looking to unseat incumbent Republican Governor Joe Lombardo in the primary. April, from what you've been able to cover, do any of these people have been able to make any headway in that effort?
Not really. A few of them have run before. A few of them ran during Lombardo's first campaign against him as Republicans. If you look at campaign finance reports, endorsements, none of the Republicans that are challenging Governor Lombardo sort of seem to have gained any momentum.
Six Democrats are also looking for the chance to make it to November's ballot. Two names most people are probably familiar with at this point are Attorney General Aaron Ford and Washoe County Commissioner Alexis Hill. Ben, you're based in Washoe County, so you might be slightly more familiar with Alexis Hill. What are some of the main issues that keep coming up in that primary?
Yeah, I'd say what has been interesting to political observers is that she has been kind of gained this reputation as more of a pragmatic legislator on the Washoe County Commission and practical and working with Republicans across the aisle. And now in this, more partisan contest, obviously running for governor, she's carving out the progressive lane. And so she's really focusing on taxing the wealthy, taxing gaming companies, mining companies. The soundbite that stands out to me was she told me any politician statewide in Nevada who doesn't talk about raising revenue in some way is, on the other hand, talking about cutting things. And so she's really centering her campaign around that. And then, on the flip side, of course, it's the front runner, Attorney General Aaron Ford, who has built a reputation on going after Trump, 40 plus lawsuits, I think. He's won the vast majority of those in his now almost 8 years as, Nevada's top law enforcement officer. And less so focused on, those more progressive ideals. He is more of the establishment choice in this race.
There is a bevy of down ballot races that would take us more than an hour to get through this program, the program that we have. So let's talk about a few that you're keeping your eye on. Anything legislative, local, down ballot? Ben?
Yeah, I'd say for our Northern Nevada audience here, it has to be the Washoe County District Attorney's race. And the reason I say that is because it will be decided in June. There will be, for all intents and purposes, no general election contest because the only two that filed to run are the incumbent Chris Hicks and Sparks City Attorney Wes Duncan. And they're both Republicans. They face off in the June primary. Whoever wins that primary will be unopposed entirely in November. So this thing is done in less than a month. And so that one's absolutely critical. I don't know how much time we have, but I could talk about that one for a while because we did interviews with both candidates. It's focused on whether or not crime is going up or not. Certain individual cases that Chris Hicks's office has declined to prosecute for one reason or another, and then allegations of nepotism that have been levied against Hicks. That is a fascinating race and all important because it's decided here in just a few weeks.
A lot going on in that race. Sure to watch that. April, what are you watching?
I think not just for Southern Nevada, but for the entire state, I think the most interesting and probably competitive primary is the Attorney General's race, particularly on the Democratic side. It's between Senate Majority Leader Nicole Cannizzaro and Nevada State Treasurer Zach Conine. This is a race that has divided a lot of Democrats. You've seen dual endorsements from several groups. You've seen some people picking a side, but it's really a competitive race and getting kind of ugly on that side. But I'll leave it at that. But that's an interesting race for, I think, if Democrats are not paying attention to that. Specific further down ballot race, there are several state assembly and Senate seats that will be decided in this race. That includes Assembly District 15, which is Assemblymember Howard Watts, who's being challenged by a sort of SEIU member union-backed candidate named Miguel Davila, both highly qualified candidates. And that's also a race that seems a little bit like retribution for the film tax credit and the special session bill. Watts voted against that, and we've seen people come out against him for that. So that's playing out heavily in that race, and that is a race that will be decided this June in the primary. And also Senate District 2, that's on the east side of town, so you're looking part of North Las Vegas and also the east side. That's State Senator Edgar Flores. He's being challenged by North Las Vegas City Councilman Isaac Barone. That is a race that is being heavily funded by the building trades groups that heavily backed the film tax credit. Again, it's a race that's decided in the primary and has split people.
We have about a little less than 2 minutes left. And one thing we haven't talked about is voters. So what are you hearing from voters, April?
You know, I mean, voters are obviously worried about the economy and gas prices and affordability, housing, sort of the same issues we've seen a lot of the time. But they really want concrete plans on that. And that's the thing that I've heard from candidates and from voters, saying that that's the most talked about topics on the campaign trail.
Ben.
Yeah, I would echo that sentiment for sure. It's the, you know, kitchen table issues, economy, affordability, gas prices. But I'll just throw another one in there, which is data centers. It has cropped up a lot up here in Northern Nevada. Governor Lombardo has come out, you know, kind of supportive of data centers. He was at a groundbreaking for one in Story County yesterday. And Alexis Hill has taken a stance against data centers. That's kind of emerged as a topic in the governor's Democratic primary. And so certainly the Reno mayor's race with the moratorium that the city is now imposing. So whether or not candidates are for or against data centers, as the, you know, AI is growing and growing more, these centers are moving to Northern Nevada. That's going to be an issue that voters are paying very close attention to as well.
April Corbin-Gurnis is the deputy editor for the Nevada Courant. Ben Marjot is a reporter for KRNV-TV in Reno and the host of the podcast Ballot Battleground Nevada. April, Ben, thank you so much for your insight.
Thank you.
It's great to be here. Thanks, Paul.